It says daf yud test. So we got to the very bottom of yud ches. The Gemara is talking about the mission about what is the kosher for Megillas Esther. So Gemara quotes from the mission, the last line, ha'yisak suva besam. It was written in different types of ink. So the Gemara explains what each type of ink is that's not good for the Megillah. It says first, the sam is sama, some type of goldish ink. Sikra is amaraba bar barchana. Sikrasa shema, some type of reddish ink. Komos is a koma, something that comes from maybe the sap of the tree. All these are puzzle. Going on to now, daf yutes. The Gemara says, kankantom is a charta, some type of black ink. Deushkapi, that they use for the those who make a leather. Leather straps use this. Diftera is a part of klaf demaliach that gets salted and treated, but kamiach, and it also has some flour little off it, but not treated at the end with some type of, I think they call it walnut, maybe, I don't know, a gold, I don't know exactly what the definition is, but it's not completely treated. And niar mechaka, and a paper that was erased on it, but these are not klaf. So whatever these details are, these are all puzzle for a for a Megillah has to be with dio and on the proper klaf. Gemara then says, ad shetek suba ashuris has to be written in Hebrew. Dichsev, it says in the pasuk, kichsavam uchizman, must be written in the language in which the Megillah was initially written in, which was Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon Ashuris. So then the Gemara says, al sefer ubudio has to be written on the proper klaf, the proper paper, and with ink. Minolan, how do you know this is the case? It has to be with sefer and dio. So asya, they bring ksiva ksiva hacha. It says, gzer shava ksiva ksiva hacha ksiv. It says, tichtov Esther Hamalka, and it says, Ksiv Hasim, it says in Yirmiya, V'yomalem Baruch Mipiv Yikra Eli, Ace called him Ha'ela, Vani Kosev Aha Sefer Bidyo. So there, even before Shpasa talks about Sefer, and the idea is that just like in Yirmiya, it's referring to Sefer and Yo when the word Ksiva is used, so too, V'tichtav Esther Hamalka also has to be with Ksiva, with Sefer and Yo. So there's a fascinating brisker rub. Those who want to look at an interesting brisker rub before the Purim, to a decent size, it's not that difficult, but he talks about from this very Pasuk, how come they have to use this other Pasuk in Yirmiya? Why not from the fact that the Sefer Torah that Megillah later on we'll see on the Amud here, the Sefer that the Megillah is compared to a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has to be Ksiva b'Sefer b'Dio, so to Megillah. So why is there the other drasha that's not used? It's Ksiva Tziva. Where does that come from? So Briskov has a beautiful idea where he says that there really are two dinim of Megillah. It explains a lot of different questions here. One element is that Megillah Esther is Ksiva al Kitzvei HaKodesh. It's one of the 24 books of Tanakh. That's one element that exists. But there's another element, he says, as well, which is the Ksiva Stam of Megillah Esther has its own set of dinim. We're going to see in the bottom here that a Megillah, on one hand, is called the Sefer. It's also called the Nigeris. It is a letter, but it's also called the Sefer. So it's balancing between these two ideas of being part of the regular Kisvei Tanakh and also being part of just a separate in and of Ksiva Megillah Esther. And he explains the different dinim of whether or not the leather requires Ibud Lashma. Sefer Torah requires Ibud Lashma, which means you need to prepare the cloth L'shem Sefer Torah. There's a discussion in the Ram whether that's true by Megillas Esther. There's again a fascinating piece that there are two dinim. So this din here of Ksiva Ksiva from Yirmiyahu indicates that there's a separate din of Megillas Esther aside from the din that exists of that being a Sefer Torah. Okay, the Mishnah now tells us as follows. There's a bit of a confusing Mishnah. Ben Ir Shehalach Lekrach. You have a person from the city that goes to another city. Which is which? So the Rashi says Ben Ir is referring to a Ben Yudal, a guy who lives in an unwalled city, a Yudal, and he's traveling to a Krach where they has a walled city where they read on the 15th. Or Ben Krach Shehalach Leir, or someone on the 15th grows to the Ir. So Ben Krach is a walled city, Ir is a unwalled city. So you have them traveling back and forth. Im Asid Lachzer Limkomo, if he plans to return back to where he comes from, so Karabim Komo, he doesn't have to read where he is, where he's traveling to, but since he's going back home, he travels, he's going to read wherever he, when he gets back home. Im Lav, if he does not plan to return back, we're going to see at what point does he plan to return back, but if he doesn't plan to return back, he plans to stay in wherever he's traveling to for Purim, so then Karimahim, then he's going to read with them. So Ben Yudalad, who's in Tezvav, he'll read on Tezvav, and Ben Tezvav, who's in the place of Yudalad, he'll read on Yudalad. I was going to clarify those pieces in just a moment. Umeheichen kari adam es Megillah v'yotze by yedei chavaso. From what point does a person have to read Megillah and be yotze? In other words, of course, a person should read the entire Megillah. But let's say a guy comes late; he misses the first few psukim. From what point is a censor for him to listen to the Megillah to be yotze the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Omer, kula, you have to listen to the whole thing. There's no exceptions from the pasuk aleph to the very last pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, meish Yehudi. From that pasuk, once Mordechai is introduced to the story. At that point, one has to listen, which is the Perek Beis. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Me'achar D'me'ela, which is later on, after Achashverosh, after he appointed Haman, which is Perek Gimel. From that point, one has to listen to Megillah in order to be Yotze. So we're going to get to that as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Lo Shanu Ela, Shas Lachzer B'Leila Yudalid. Leil Yudal is really the key point. That's the key moment of when this person travels a Ben Krach to Ir, a Ben Ir the Krach. Where are you, Leil Yudal? It's only true if he plans to go back Leil Yudal. Aval ein osir lachzer b'leile arbaasar kore imayin. In other words, if you have a Ben Krach, a person from Tezvav, who is in a unwalled city on Leil Yudal, if he doesn't plan to go back Leil Yudal, so then he reads Leil Yudal. If he does plan to go back before Leil Yudal, then he doesn't read. So it's a little bit unclear what that means. If he's not there Leil Yudal, why would he be reading if he's not in the city anymore? So just look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Lo shanu de Ben Krach shehalak le'ir v'osir lachzer l'mkomo, a walled city guy who's in an unwalled city, when do we say he reads Tesvav only? Ella says Rashi, She'asir lachzer b'leile arbasar. Im ko demar mura shachar, yatsim in a'ir. Meaning, Leil Yudal, he happens to be in the unwalled city, but he plans to return back home also later on that night before the sun rises. So yes, he starts off in Woodmere, Leil Yudal, he's here, they read Megillah. We plan to go back to Shalayim before sunrise. So he's going to be back there also in Leil Yudal as well. So if that's the case, he does not need to read in Leil Yudal on the Woodmere. But if he plans to stay in Woodmere throughout the entire night of Yudal and doesn't plan to return back until after sunset, then he has to read in Woodmere on Leil Yudal. That's what it says. Read Rashi again. If he leaves the unwalled city before the sun rises, who de katani she'ein ol tzarach likros imam b'leil yudal. That's where we say he doesn't have to read b'leil yudal. Afa pishu oden sham, even though he's there on leil yudal. Ho b'yom lo hayesham, since during the daytime he won't be there on in yudal. Ein ze afilu paraz ben yom. He's not called an unwalled city guy even for that day. You have to be there for the entire night. Aval, let's just to finish this next Rashi. Aval ein asid lates misham b'leil. If he's plans to stay the entire night in Woodmere, Tehasha have a paraz los yom, is called an unwalled city guy for that day at least, since he spent the entire night in the unwalled city. Afa pisha asr lachzer lemacha, even though liyom, the next day he plans to return back, he's still called nikra paraz. The kari mahim bain bilele yudalada, bain bi yudal. He needs to read both the nighttime and also the daytime as well on yudal he needs to read. Well, then the same is true with the Ben Ir Shalach Lekrach, the same exact thing. A Yudal guy who's in a city of the walled city, the same exact thing by Tezvav. Just plug in Tezvav for Yudal, everything ends up matching up. So now in the Gemara. So after establishing this, the Gemara wants to know how you know. How do you know if I'm a walled city guy, I live in Yerushalayim, what makes me, just because I'm in Woodmere, that makes me chayv? I'm not a guy. I'm not a guy who lives in the unwalled city. I happen to be here, but I'm not a person who lives in the unwalled city. So the Gemara explains the Raya is from the following pasuk. Amar Rava. How do I know? I know if a guy lives in the Prazim, of course he lives in the Prazos. In other words, Yehudim HaPrazim, the Jews who are of the Prazim, who are living in the Ari Prazos. That's repetitive. So, that seems to be understood. What's the repetition? The paris ben yome nikre paris. In other words, there are people who live all year round in the cities, and then there are those who are visiting even for the day. So a guy who lives there for the day, he's also called a ben paris, even though it's not the entire year, but since he's there for the entire night and a little bit of the morning, he's called a ben paris for that day, and he's also chayv to read, even though he lives in a walled city, but since he's there for Purim, he must read like the unwalled city.
Why can't you learn the other way around, that it comes to teach you that only if you live
No, because it's a double lashon. We're trying to include someone extra, not trying to exclude. A double lashon always includes something. So then the Gemara says, "Ha kamash b'lan de paris ben yomo nikka paris shashkechan paris." We find okay, a guy who's unwalled, living in an unwalled city for the day, he's called the paris. But what about mukaf minalan? How do you know a guy from Woodmere who's in Yerushalayim for the day, he becomes a ben mukaf for the day? The Gemara says minalan svarhu. It's sensible. It's logical. Midaparis ben yomo kari paris, mukav ben yomo kari pamukav. It's obvious that if once we establish that a paris for the day is called a paris, so too it should apply equally to a mukav as well. So the Gemara then says, Vamarava ben kfar. So now a guy from the village. A guy from the village is a guy who doesn't live in a walled city or an unwalled city, lives in the village where he needs to go to the big cities to hear the Megillah. So now you have Amarava ben kfar, shahalach le'ir. So if he, a guy from the village who travels to the big city, so Ben Kach, Kor Imam. He has to read with the big city. My time, why? Didn't he read already on Thursday or Monday? Let's say it was Monday. Let's say Purim was on Wednesday. And he read on Monday, so he's going to the mitzvah of Megillah, because on Monday he goes in early, he's Makdim L'Yom HaKnisa. Now he happens to be in the big city on Wednesday again. Does he have to read again? The Gemara says, yes, he needs to read again, because my time, why? He already was going to the mitzvah. So the Gemara explains, my time, a high kivnei ha'ir, by the mikkah, really, the ben kfar is supposed to read like a ben ir, which means the Wednesday the 14th. Rabbanan hu da kila al kfarim, but the rabbis were very makel for the kfarim, kidei shispiku, or really in order, because my mazal lachim shebe krachim, but since they had given the food, sold food to the krachim, we were makel them for traveling back and forth. But the Gemara says, this heter was only true, hanimili, kisa biduchte, when they're stuck at home. On Wednesday, the 14th, they're at home. Okay, you could do it on the Yom Kanisa. Ava kisa biir, when they're in the city, kivnei ir, by limika, they're supposed to read kivnei ir, and that's the ideal time, and therefore they have to read it, even if they read it once before, they have to read it a second time as again, because that's the ideal time to read it. So the Gemara then says, eisive, the Abai asks the following question. Ben krach, shalach liir, ben kach, kore kimkomo. So if a guy from the Ben Tezvav, a walled city, is visiting an unwalled city, the din is he reads always like his city, always the 15th. Even if he's on, even if he's in Woodmere on the 14th, he always reads Kimkoma. So Gemara says, Ben Krach Sakadaitach, Bim Asit Lachsur Talimuth. We said it depends when he returns, not just across the board, he always reads on the 15th. If he's in the place of the unwalled city, he should read on the 14th if he doesn't plan to return back until the next day. So how could the Gemara say this? Ella la ben kfar, it must be a ben kfar, and we see now the way you plug it in, a ben kfar, ben kach always reads kimkomo, always according to his day, which is Yom HaKnisa, meaning he does not have to read it again if he's in the city on the day of Purim. That's against what we just said above. So Gemara says, lav tuta mitarta, didn't we already say this Bryce is a mistake? The fact that we changed from ben krach to ben kfar, that indicates there's a mistake here. Let's say there's another mistake. It really shouldn't be bimkomo. It should really be kore imahim, meaning he reads with the walled city or the unwalled city, where if he's there on Purim, he has to read again with them. So again, this Bryce has a couple of mistakes, and therefore you can't ask questions from such a Bryce. It's an interesting question that the Gemara Nivamas talks about, and the Rishonim elaborate. Why is this whole discussion not a problem of Losis Godu? Losis Godu about reading the 14th, reading the 15th. You have a Ben Kfar who comes to the big city and he reads on Yom HaKnis on Monday, and then that same city they read again on Wednesday, the Purim, the rest of the city. Isn't that Losis Godu in the same exact city? So some Rishonim say it's actually Tosas writes this, that the Ben Kfar, when he read, he actually wouldn't be reading in the city. He'd be reading back in his own Kfar. We all assume, which is Pashup Shot, and Rashi says this, the Ben Kfar goes to the big city because he didn't have a Baal Kore there. So they didn't have a Baal Kore, so they had to go to the city. But says Tosas is not true. Tosas Yivama says they actually did have a Baal Kore in the Kfar. The problem was they weren't able to get a minyan together because they were so small. But when they had a Yom HaKnisa, they all gathered together to travel as a unit. So they gathered together on Monday, they davened and laned in the Kfar, and then they traveled as a whole caravan to go do their business. So that's pshat. It's not an issue of Losas Godu. They're two different cities. That's one pshat. Another pshat that Rishonim say is that if you do this bakrai, you do this just once in a while, that's not called Losas Godu. You know, once in a blue moon, you have them read on different days. If it's more consistent, that creates Losas Godu. But one Purim, every so often, that they have different days, that's not going to create Losas Godu. And finally, the Ritva says, Losas Godu, the concern is, it leads to machlokas. It's only true when they argue, should you wear tefillin, should you not wear tefillin? Here, no one's arguing. Everybody agrees the Ben Kfar has the heter of Yom HaKnisa. It's not a machlokas, it's just out of convenience. We let them read earlier. That's not a machlokas here. And since it won't lead to a machlokas, according to the Ritva, there is no problem of two different groups of people reading in the same city on different days. Back inside the Gemara, now the Gemara says halfway down the Amud here, the two dots. Mehechen kore adam es Megillah v'chulei v'yotze. At what point, how much does a person need to read in order to be yotze the mitzvah of kriyas Megillah? So the Gemara says as follows. It's a machlokas. It says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, mi belayla hahu, from that moment, that's the key point when a person should be reading in order to be Yotze. From that, that was the sudden change in the Megillah. Much later on, that's Perek Vav. Very makel. I'm Rabbi Yochan, so v'chulan, all the opinions of Mishnah opinions and Rabbi Shimon Yochai, his opinion, they all mikra echa darshu. They all darshu the same exact pasuk, they just interpret it differently. How so? It says in the very end of Megillah, v'ticht of Esther Malka, u'mordechai ha-Yehudi es kol tokef, that Esther wrote, along with Mordechai, they wrote the whole tokef, the whole essence, the whole major theme, the major plot of the Megillah, they wrote it down. So what's called the tokef? What's called the major plot of the Megillah? So man, the damar cool, you have to read the entire mission, the entire Megillah rather. Tokfo shel Achashverosh. That means you want to hear the entire story of Achashverosh. That means from the very first pasuk, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, the first time he's introduced until the very end. That's the pshat of our Mishnah. Uman damar me'ish Yehudi, tokfo shel Mordechai. We're trying to capture the entire story of Mordechai, which is only once he's introduced to the story. That's the key part of the Megillah. Uman damar me'achar dvim ha'ela. That's when Haman is introduced into the story and he's appointed. That's Tokel Shehaman. We want to learn about the story of Haman. And man damar Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who held mi'belayla ha'hu, that's Tokel Shenes. When the Nes began to come into play, that's what the Tokev means. So that four-way machlokes all hinges on how to interpret the Tokev, that very last or end of the Megillah, what the Tokev of Megillah really means.
But he doesn't consider that the picking up Esther was an ace, I guess.
Yeah, they always, but that what the I guess yeah,
that's
I guess
for,
so. Then the Gemara says, "Rav Huna Amar Mehachi brings another pasuk. What they're arguing about? He says, "Umaro al kacha umagi alem." It says in the end as well, when they sent the Ageris out, the Ageris Azos, what do they see on this matter, and what he received? What was the punishment? What was the reward? So it's very ambiguous. What is it referring to? Umaro, what do they see, and what was mahagiu? So they all explain as follows. Man the damar kula that you need to read the entire Megillah. Ma ro Achashverosh. What did Achashverosh see? That he's nishtamesh b'kelim shel beis hamikdash. He decided to use the kelim beis hamikdash. What did he see? Al kacha, for the following reason. What's the following reason? Mishim dechashiv shivim shanim. He calculated the 70 years like we discussed a few days ago. Lo iparik and klaisa wasn't redeemed. He said, ah, must be they're stuck here forever. That was his thought process. Umah gialem. What did he receive? What was his punishment? The cult of Vashi that led to him killing Vashi. That was we're trying to describe. So therefore, you have to read from the very beginning of Megillah to capture that idea. Uman damar meishi hudi. From you have to read from that point on in the Megillah. Ma ro Mordechai. Ma ro means what did Mordechai see? The ikane b'Haman that he was jealous of Haman. So that that al kacha the shavi nafshe avodah zara. He was so upset at Haman because he considered himself avodah zara. Uma gialem. What did happen to him in the end? Because Haman had he was a big kanoi against Haman. The israchesh nisa. The nes happened to him. That was referring to Mordechai's life story. So from Meishi Hudi was necessary. Uman damer me'achar hadrim ha'ela. When Haman is introduced, Ma ra Haman is the focus here. Sheniskanim b'chol Yehudim. He was so upset at all the Jews, jealous of all the Jews. He wanted to destroy them. Akacha because of mishum de Mordechai lo yichra lo yishachve, because Mordechai didn't bow down to him. Umagi alem. What was the end result to Haman? V'salu also v'esbanim al eitz. He and his children were hanged on the tree. Uman damar, finally, the one who said, Mibalaila hahu, from that point, when the nes began, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's understanding, Maro Achashverosh lahavia sefer zichronos, what caused him, Achashverosh, to bring the book of memories? So it was Al-Kacha, because, Dizamnisa Esther Lahaman Bahadeh, because Haman invited him, strangely, to the same exact meal, Haman, to the meal that he and Esther were coming to. So what happened? The Mahagi Alem, what was the end result? The Israchesh Nisa, that led to a nes. So again, different interpretations of this pasuk. So two psukim, which they the machlok is about how to interpret it. Where is the toke from, or where is the ma ra'u? Where does that come from? Was it from Achashverosh? Was it from Haman Mordechai? Or was it the actual nes? The Gemara says, "How do we paskin the halacha ma'isa?" Amar Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rabbi Chama, Bar Guri, Amar Rava. Halacha kedivrei ha'omer kula. The one who says in our Mishnah, they have to read the entire Megillah. That's how we paskin. And parenthetically, v'afilu l'man damer. Even the opinion we saw this the other day. Even the mandamer, even though we know Paskin this way, but the mandamer who holds Meish Yehudi is sufficient. Tricha shete ksuva kula. The entire thing must be written in front of you. You cannot skip a Megillah. You can't skip the first few psukim. You have to have everything written in front of you. Although you don't have to read everything, everything must be written. So the Gemara then says another statement in Rabbi Chalba's name. Amar Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rav Chama, Bar Guri, Amar Rav. Megillah nikres sefer v'nikres igaris. Like I said before, that we call Megillah both a sefer and we also call this an igaris. Nikris sefer. How is it called the sefer? Shim tafra b'chute pisham psula. Just like when you write a sefer Torah and you tie the parchment together, it's sewed together. You cannot use pishan. You have to use that which comes from an animal, gidim of a behema, a kosher behema. So too, Megillah must have the same gidim in tying together the cloth. If it's a pishan, it's psula, just like a sefer Torah. The nikres igaris is called the nigaris. Shim hitel bo shlosha chute gidim. If you put only three gidim, three threads in, that's sufficient. Although a sefer Torah requires more than that, it's sufficient to have a Megillah having less than that. That would be ksheira. And Amar of Nachman, Nachman says, Ubilvad shu mushalashim, as long as they're dispersed in three. In other words, when you put them in, they have to be divided equal parts in between into thirds when you put in the when you sew them together. So Gemara then says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hakorei Megillah Ksuva Bein Haksuvim. The person reads a Megillah that's in the Ksuvim, which means it's part of the Sefer Tanakh. It's all one cloth. You don't put them in as a separate thing like we have, but you put it together with Ruz and Shiashim and so on. You lump it together, lo yatsa, that's not good enough. It has to be a separate Megillah. But if you put it together with others, it's not good. So Amar Rava says, lo Amar, we only say it's puzzle when it's with other Ksuvim, Only elo delo mechasre umiyasre purtiv. It's not a different size. We'll see in Rashi what that means in a second. But if you put it mechasre miyasre, if you put it together with rus and shiashirim and so on, but you have it a little bit shorter or a little bit longer where it kind of stands out, then actually less than bow. That's not of concern. You're actually allowed to use it. So just look at Rashi, what that means, bigger or smaller. Rashi, last Rashi in the Amud here says, miyasre, arucha mishar klafim lamala. The klaf is longer than the other klafim, o lamata, or it's a little bit shorter, o ksar mehem, it's higher or lower or shorter than yesh leheker latzma. So then the klaf itself has to be a different size than the other ksuvim it's written with, then that actually would be acceptable according to other opinions. Outside of that, it would have to be a separate klaf entirely. The Gemara then says, last line of Amud Aleph here, Levi bar Shmuel have kakari kame de Rav Yehuda. One time he was reading the Megillah in front of Rav Yehuda. The Megillah, haksuva bein haksuvim, with the Megillah that was attached to other ksuvim. It was attached to Rosh and Shiashim and so on. So he says, Amr lei, hare amru, hakari be Megillah, ksuva bein haksuvim, lo yatsa. We have a din that you cannot yotze with reading such a Megillah if it's attached to other ksuvim. So Amr Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amr Yochram, hakari be Megillah, ksuva bein haksuvim, lo yatsa. The Gemara says, Machula Moche, he hit himself in the head and says, that's only Betzibur Shanu. When it comes to Beyachid, you're allowed to. Why? What's the difference between Tzibur and Yachid? So Rishonim explained that since the idea of piercing Medisa is necessary when reading the Tzibur, so we want it to be Negeris. Once it's Negeris, then you see that it establishes the piercing Medisa. That's why it has to be separate. But if a person's reading by himself, Beyachidus, where there's no element of piercing Medisa, then you actually can use a Megillah that's been Aksuvim because there's no issue of piercing Medisa when a person reads Beyachidus. So Gemara then says further, so Amar, Rebichir, Ba'ab, Amar, Beyochanam, Shir HaTefer, the distance of where the top stitches and the top of the cloth, halacha moshe b'sinai, the fact that you have to leave a separation from the top of the cloth to the sewing to the top of the cloth, that space there, that's halacha moshe b'sinai. And then machla mochi hit himself in the head again, v'lo amru ela k'dei shalikrai. They said, not true, it's actually so it doesn't tear. Meaning, if you tie the top of the gidin to the very top of the cloth, that actually could, if it's too tight, it could cause it to tear more so than it wasn't. But if you leave some ability to separate, that actually has less an issue of it tearing. So initially he thought the fact that the top stitch is a few inches below the top of the cloth, that was halacha moshe b'sinai, and this is not really true. It's really so it shouldn't tear. You give it some ability to have less resistance so it shouldn't tear properly, so it shouldn't tear. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmalei nishtayer b'mara sh'amad b'moshe v'eliyahu. The din was, as Rashi points out, that both Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Navi were standing in a ma'ara, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu passed in front of them so they could see like the back of a Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow. So he says if that crack was even open slightly more, the size of a needle, then the light would have been so strong, neither Moshe or Eliyahu could have stood from the power of that light. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, no one could see me and live. Therefore, that crack was tiny to allow a little glimpse of the light of a Kadosh Baruch, whatever that means. That's just a random statement, but since it's the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, we bring this here as well. And the Gemara says one last statement in his name before we get to the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, related to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean in the pasuk when it says, Va'aleim kachal advar ma'asher dibar Hashem imachem bahar, and to you all the things I said with you on the mountain. What's Hashem telling Moshe? Melame, this is teaching us a very important statement. Shereyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Dikduke Torah, V'dikduke Sofrim, U'mashia Sofrim, Asidim L'chadei, Shemayinu, Mikra Megillah. Now this tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu everything that's going to be Mechadish in the future, and amongst the many things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him that was going to be Mechadish was Megillas Esther. This mitzvah was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu as well. So the Rishon asked the question, how come they specified Megillas Esther? Weren't there other Dine Derban? Why Dafka Megillas Esther? So some say you're right. They just give Megillas Esther as an example, but who are then all the other mitzvahs as well were mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban and Sefer Mitzvah says otherwise is not true. So there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvahs derabanan of Megillas Esther versus all other mitzvahs derabanan, and that's as follows. All other mitzvahs derabanan are all either siag or takana, something to reinforce, to strengthen already existing mitzvah deraisa. So for example, muksa is there to strengthen Shabbos. It doesn't stand alone as a separate mitzvah. Megillas Esther is unique. That's a completely independent, standing alone mitzvah derabanan. So that was what was stood out. But all other derabanans are all to, again, reinforce, to strengthen some other mitzvah deraisa that already does exist. New mission. Now the mission tells us that a kol ksheirim likros is a Megillah. Everyone's allowed to read a Megillah. Chutz mecheirish shote v'katan, with the exception of one who can't hear, one who doesn't have the mental capacity, and a child, a minor. And Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda thinks a katan actually may read the Megillah. So the interesting discussion when it comes to a child reading, we have this machlokas anytime chinuch comes up, whether the chinuch is incumbent upon the child or the parent. So this machlokas exists here as well. Do we say that the child, in fact, is really chayiv in the mitzvah? Or do we say that the parents are chayiv to make the children read? And that's a very important focus of whose mitzvah it is. Is it the child or is it the parent? So that again comes up here as well. So now the Gemara says, there's a bit of a tricky Gemara. It appears in Maseches Brachos, those who remember. It's a lot of back and forth. It's like a ping pong game. How do you read it? So we'll try to read it slowly. I'm not sure we'll get to the end of it. We might have to stop in the middle and finish it off tomorrow because it goes like 10 lines into the next stop. But let's at least get it started. So the Gemara says, Mantana, Cheresh Dieved Namilo. Who is the opinion that says that Cheresh, even if Dieved had a Cheresh read the Megillah, you wouldn't be Yotze? Dieved, he's Pasol. So Amar Rav Masna, Rabbi Yossi, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, this is Mishnah Maseches Brachos. It says, HaKoreh Shema, V'lo Hishmir La'azno Yotzo. The Tanan Kama holds, if you recite Shema, even though you don't hear your words, you're still Yotze Mitzvah. But Rabbi Yossi holds, Omer Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze, meaning that you have to hear the words of Shema. So a Cheresh, who can't hear, is not Yotze Shema, so too he's not Yotze Megillah as well. So Gemara said, Mimai, how do you know? It's Rabbi Yossi, Uvidiyabit Nami Lo. How do you know our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi? I agree. Rabbi Yossi holds a cheresh b'dieved is still not kosher. But maybe our Mishnah Dilma, our Mishnah is talking about it on a l'chachila level. That maybe it's really Rabbi Yehudi who l'chachila hu d'lo ha'dieved shaper dami. Maybe our Mishnah is saying l'chachila cheresh shouldn't read, but b'dieved we would accept the cheresh's kriya, and that's really shita's Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, Lo sagadaitech, no one would think that our Mishnah is talking about only on the lichatchila level. Why? Because the katani cheresh dumi the shot of a katan. The fact that it lumps together cheresh along with the shot in a katan, and everybody agrees. Ma shot of a katan, dieven amilo. If they read it, it certainly would not be acceptable. So too, by comparison, av cheresh dieven amilo, we're talking about a psul of a cheresh on a b'dieved level even, must be Rabbi Yossi who apostles a cheresh b'dieved and not Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma, Hatkadisa, Hakadisa. Maybe just because they're on the same list doesn't mean the same halachas apply. Maybe by Shota and Katan, they're possible b'dieved, but maybe by Cheresh, he's kasher b'dieved. So Gemara says, Mitekatani Seifra. From the fact that the Seifa says that Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, Rabbi Yehuda allows a Katan to read Mechlad Resha Lav Rabbi Yehuda. Does that not imply that the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Yehuda? It must therefore be Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds on even a b'dieved level. Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma, Kul Rabbi Yehudi, maybe the whole thing's Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, how could you say the whole thing's Rabbi Yehuda? Dami, Reisha l'psula of Seif l'chshera. The Reisha clearly says that it's possible to read a katan, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kasher. So you can't say the whole thing's Rabbi Yehuda. Must be the Tana Kama is Rabbi Yossi, and we're talking about a b'dieved level. Gemara says, no. The Dilma Kul Rabbi Yehudi v'trei gavne katan katanila. Maybe the whole thing's Rabbi Yehuda, and there are two types of katans. How? V'chasur mechsen, something's missing. Maybe it should be v'halchi katani. The Mishnah should really read as follows: Hakol k'shein l'krosis Megillah. Everybody can read the Megillah. Chutz mecheresh shot of a katan. B'med dvar amurim. What type of katan is possible? B'katan shelo gil chinuch. If he hasn't reached the age of chinuch, about b'katan shegil chinuch. If he reached the age of chinuch, which might be I don't know 10, 11, 12. So then afil l'chachila, even l'chachila, the katan can read the Megillah. Shereb Yehuda machshir b'katan. So that everything works out nicely by the katan. And now we can go back and read the cheresh line that cheresh is talking about l'chachila. A cheresh shouldn't read, but b'dieved we accept the cheresh according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, "V'mayo kimtek Rabbi Yehuda u'v'dieved." How do you know we explain this is Rabbi Yehuda shita? Ella, and it's b'dieved who says at the case. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "V'mayo kimtek Rabbi Yehuda." V'ashmisa la dechi amar Rabbi Yehuda below shmi lazno yasa b'dieved kamar v'locha lechachi. How do you know who said this? Talking about the case of dieved, we accept the cheresh. Ella Gemara says, "Ella hadatani Rabbi Yehuda brei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi." Cheresh hamedaber veino shemeya, a cheresh who could speak but can't hear. He's torn lechachila. He's allowed to do truma lechachila. So Gemara says, even though he can't say a bracha, he could still do the truma. Why? So mani I Rabbi Yehuda. If that's from Rabbi Yehuda, dieved in lechachila lo. Rabbi Yehuda only allows you b'dieved for a cheresh the truma would work. But lechachila, he doesn't say a cheresh should read Megillah. He doesn't say a cheresh should say truma, do truma, because he can't say the bracha. So that can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because this price says lechachila, a cheresh could do truma and say the bracha, even though he can't hear. And Rabbi Yossi, if Rabbi Yossi is the author of this brisa, the Yevid Amrilo, he thinks even b'dieved a cheresh is possible by Megillah, by Shema, and by truma. So who is the opinion that holds lechachila, you're allowed to have a cheresh do a mitzvah? So the Gemara said, Ella must be my Rabbi Hudi v'afil l'chachila. So meaning, how can we assume before that Rabbi Huda said a cherish is possible l'chachila? But you have to be accepted, but l'chachila it's possible. We just prove now Rabbi Huda says a cherish is even allowed l'chachila, because who else would author this brisa that allows a cherish to do chuma, which means he would say a bracha even though he can't hear? It must be Rabbi Huda that l'chachila cherish can read it. So how do we say this Mishnah is talking about Rabbi Huda only on a b'dievel level by Megillah? So Gemara says, Ella, Hadatani, the Brisa which says, Lo yivarech adam birchas hamazon b'libah. A person should not bench inside his own heart. He shouldn't say it silently. Vim birch yotze, if he does say it, he's yotze. So right now where we stand, just to be clear, we have two opinions. Either Rabbi Yossi says a person who doesn't hear the words, he's entirely pasul afilu b'dievet. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says, even though you don't hear, l'chachila, you can say words, even though you're not going to hear. A cherish could do Megillah l'chachila, he could do bracha of chumas l'chachila, he could say shema l'chachila. But we don't have anybody who says, l'chachila, you shouldn't, but b'dieved, you're yotze. So that problem is, we're going to bring a braisa that says that there's a third opinion that says, l'chachila, you shouldn't, but b'dieved, you're yotze. So we just said, a guy says, shouldn't bench, lo yivarech adam birchas hamazon b'libah, l'chachila, you shouldn't bench silently, vim birach yotze, you're yotze. Who authored this braisa? Money. It can't be lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. It can't be either one, because if Rabbi Yehuda, we said, afil l'chachila, you could bench without hearing, a cherish could bench without hearing, that's l'chachila even. And here, Rabbi Yossi, we said, I feel b'dieved na amilo. It doesn't work. I feel b'dieved. You have to repeat it until you hear yourself. So who's the one who says, l'chachila, don't, b'dieved yoyotze? And the Gemara says, li'olam, really, it's Rabbi Yehuda, v'afil l'chachila. Really, it is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds l'chachila, you're allowed to bench without hearing it. However, there are really three opinions. Really, lokasha, hodidei, hodirabe. One's his own opinion, one's his Rebbe's opinion. So Rabbi Yossi, everybody agrees, is clear. Rabbi Yossi says, b'dieved, you're not yotze if you don't hear yourself. Rabbi Yehuda and his Rebbe argue, does that mean l'chachila, you have to hear yourself? Or l'chachila, you don't have to hear yourself? That's the machlokis here. So Gemara says, afila v'lo kashya, ha didei, ha dirabi. And the Gemara proves this, may as well finish to the two dots. The Gemara says, detanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. He quotes his Rebbe, that hakore shema, tzarech shishma l'ozna, l'chachila, you must hear the words, shenemar shema yisrael, shema l'kein ha-shem echad, ha-shmir l'oznecha, ma'asha tamot mifichad. But it admits, b'dieved, if you didn't hear, you'd be yotze. So his Rebbe is the middle opinion. L'chachila here, b'dieved, if you don't. Rabbi Meir Omer, asher anochi mitzavcha yom alavavcha, acha kavanas alev, hein hein dvarm. So you could follow even belev. L'chachila, you don't have to hear the words. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. It's just like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rabbi Yehuda is a Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, l'chachila you must hear it. B'dieved, if you didn't, you're yotze. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both say, l'chachila you don't even have to hear it. You can even do the kavanas alev. So Gemara says, wait a second, Hasha Dasa Lachi. Now we just established this, that Rabbi Meir is another Shita, like Rabbi Yehuda. Why not say as follows? Afil Tema Rabbi Yehuda Kurabi. Even though Rabbi Yehuda might hold like his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that holds the Chachila you should hear. B'devri Yotze, Svirle, V'hadda Tani Yehuda Bered Rabbi Shua Ben Pazi above, that the Chachila you don't have to hear, that could really be the Shita of Rabbi Meir. In the end of the day, there are three opinions here, whether the Chachila you have to listen to it, and B'devri you're Yotze if you don't. Other opinions, even b'dieved, you're not yotze, or even l'chachila, you don't have to listen to it. Those are the three opinions in the end of the day. I'm not going to recap today. Everybody should have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.
What's the Mishnah saying, Lamaskana, that this Hanitama b'dieved is okay, or?